Welcome back to Rural Queensland today. It is Thursday, October the 24th. This is pretty special. Founder of Sober in the Country and CEO, soon to be CEO, of a national registered charity is Shanna Wan. And she's a rural ambassador as well. And this is an amazing story. She joins us this morning on Rural Queensland today across the Resonate Broadcast Network. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Ben. How are you going?
Wonderful. And congratulations. I know I introduced you as obviously the founder of Sober in the Country, and we'll get to that. But this amazing initiative of yours now looks set after some time to be a national registered charity, which by any means is not easy and is a complete game changer for what you're trying to achieve and what you're trying to do.
It is, Ben. There's 5 years of pretty much back-to-back work days being in the trenches as a volunteer to get to this point. And I'm pretty confident the day it officially goes through, I'll have a big cry, I'd say.
we'll get to the day where we and what you're speaking at Dargaminda. But I'm really looking forward to having a chat to you about this because we've all lived in the bush. We know how the culture is, and we know we turn to community through tough times, and that's what makes us so resilient. But since you started this organisation, and it's a national alcohol awareness conversation, and it's in the rural space as such, and pretty much it's about saying no, and it's okay to not grab that beer. You can actually get on with it without having that drink.
Yeah, 100%. Ben, the best way I can describe Sober in the Country is it's like what's already been done with, say, organisations like Are You OK Day.
Yep.
We are just allowing mates to connect with other mates. Our tagline, as you just said, is it's okay to say no to a beer. And that conversation, that there's a hell of a story behind it, but the simple premise of removing the stigma of, you know, giving our mates a hard time if they say no to a drink, is actually a life-saving conversation. And we have literally created a national community around that one simple sentence. And like I said, it's taken 5 years of me just blogging and speaking and talking and connecting and working my guts out to get that conversation into the spotlight. But now that it's there and it's palatable and people fully comprehend the simple, simple, beautiful inclusivity and positive nature of the message, there's a massive groundswell behind it. And, it's a really positive yarn designed to literally save lives.
Yeah, well, it certainly does. What's the Sober in the Country? You know, are you saying, and because we all do, and I mean, we all have a vice. And sometimes, and to be honest with you, we've all been there. We've all drunk way too much at different stages.
Me, most of all.
I smoked 1,000 cigarettes in my time. Yep. You know, we've all had those vices. And it seems to escalate sometimes when we're going through hardship. And blokes, yes, we're resilient. But, you know, you come in, you get around, and it becomes... One becomes not enough, 20's too many, and there's no happy medium, and then it becomes a constant, and then you can stare down the barrel of you're a functioning alcoholic, and I'm not saying, I'm generalising here, I know that, but what becomes the new normal is far from normal, and when you have these conversations, they're uncomfortable, and that's the thing, and it's all right. What you're trying to get to is that it's all right to be uncomfortable and have these conversations because normally as blokes, we just don't do it.
Oh, exactly right. And the way I've been able to break this conversation wide open, and I've literally, as far as I'm aware, I'm the only country person who speaks very publicly about my own alcoholism and how I recovered. So how I've been able to blow this open and just take the lid off it is I throw myself under the bus. I use my broken story of survival, so to speak, and I just go first. I just went first and I said, you know what? I was a raging, high-functioning, I call it undercover, casual alcoholic. And what I learned, and this is what I talk about, is I say, Australia, I'm not here to comment on people who enjoy a beer. It's not about that. It's not about demonising alcohol. It's not about taking that incredible... important connection between rural communities away. That's not what it is. All we're doing is bringing in some really authentic talk and education and discussion so that we can learn to recognise what's okay and what's not okay. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not okay, but because Australia is such a boozy nation, and because we sort of more or less bloody measure a bloke by how many beers he can drink without passing out, we're missing a heap of people in the cracks.
Yep.
And that those are the people I created Sober in the Country for. I wanted other people in the bush to understand what is okay, what is not okay, how do we recognise the signs, and what do we do for our mates who are exhibiting clear signs that their drinking has gone to a level that is very concerning, whether it might be impacting their health, their finances, their family, their work. You know, what you said before, Ben, when one is too many and a thousand is not enough.
Yeah.
And that was me, right? I was the person, once I had a beer, everyone could almost lay bets on what outrageous thing I would get up to. I was an absolute lunatic when I drank. And I could go weeks without drinking. I didn't drink every day. I didn't drink during the day. So therefore, I thought, well, I don't have a problem because only alcoholics. Alcoholics are people who drink every day during the day. That's literally how ignorant I was. And that's why I was a class example of someone slipping through the cracks, because I had untreated and undiagnosed alcoholism for a long, long time. And, coming through trying to save my own life because I nearly ended up dead made me realise, what a joke. How many people out in the bush are in this battle that don't even know how much trouble they're in, and who do they have to turn to? And the answer is nobody. It's a really scary gap in our community, and people, especially as we go into drought, more and more and more severe crippling drought, is unacceptable how many people are falling into a very big black hole in this area. So I made it my job to attack that and tackle it and bring it up in the conversation.
How hard for you, and thank you for being so honest. I appreciate it. I mean, this show is about telling stories and making a difference. Mm-hmm. How hard was it for you to actually confront that in yourself? And go, because I mean, we've all got, as I said earlier, we've all got voices, and you can either bury them or you can face the music. And it's a fear, and it's fighting your fear. But for you personally, in the bush, I mean, it's different with you. And we're talking to the converted here. It's different when you're in rural Australia than when you're in a metropolitan area. You've got more access to help in the cities than what you have. You've got more people that are in the same position as you. It's like divorce. Down in Brisbane, it's as common. You go out west, you get divorced, mate, it goes the rounds for 6 weeks, and it's the biggest news story in the cycle. It's just the fact of life. It just it doesn't happen. So for you, born and bred in the bush, happily, you know, in yourself, but also knowing that you've got this demon inside you, that you had to break the cycle, can you just talk to us about how you went about that yourself, and then how you turned it into where you are today?
Well, so my story is almost a walking, talking cliche. You know, people often say to me, gosh, so how did a girl with great opportunity and loving family and, you know, a good start to life end up a suicidal alcoholic by the age of 39? And that was my story. And my answer is it happened over a period of 25 years. Yeah. It began for me as a very crappy set of traumas in my life when I was an 18-year-old, hugely naive kid. I bolted out of boarding school with zero life skills and zero bloody experience and rushed headlong into some situations, and they ended very badly for me. And within a year out of school, I'd experienced multiple sexual assaults and all sorts of yucky things. And it really set me on a path for I guess hiding from some pain and some trauma that I never got help with.
Yep.
Now, if you speak to anybody who's an expert or a psychologist, a counsellor, whatever, anyone with doctorates in addiction, generally speaking, they will always link back to unaddressed or untreated or unresolved traumas. And that was definitely the case for me. So there I was, you know, belting around the countryside, isolated, remote, all of my young life with no... I had no way of dealing with and treating some of the traumas that I'd experienced. But what I did have plentiful access to was grog and parties. And I found that alcohol became a convenient place for me to hide or gain courage or fit in and feel like I belonged. So over time, that became more and more severe. You know, one or two beers wasn't enough, then it was six, and blah, blah, blah. You know, fast forward 25 years, And I was the girl who couldn't wait to knock off work at 5 o'clock from my high-profile career and have a Chardonnay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
sure.
Then suddenly that was two Chardonnays, and suddenly I'm bloody 38 years of age, staring down the bottle, barrel, should I say, of being desperately unhealthy, desperately unwell. I'd been battling infertility, depression, so much anxiety and pain and trauma had resurfaced from my younger days, and I was just a walking train smash. And my alcoholism had progressed to the point then where if I opened a bottle of wine, I was not going to stop until I had basically blacked out. And that could be a bottle and a half, could be two bottles. It was horrendous. So is this actually nightmarish progression that began as one thing in a beautiful, confident, bubbly, you know, country kid, and ended up as an absolutely ruined, devastated woman. But I still presented to the general public as this amazing woman. I was still public speaking. I was a really, really talented photographer. I was doing and saying and sounding like all the right things. I wore the right clothes. I went to the right events. But I literally lived two lives where by day I was confident, Shanna, and by night I was falling apart. And nobody except my closest family had any clue how desperate things had become. And I would say, Ben, that over the course of two decades, I tried numerous times to get help. I reached out to various GPs. Most of them would look at me and go, well, you look fine to me. Don't you exercise a lot? Don't you run? Don't you do this? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, you can't be in that much trouble. Have some antidepressants. Come back in a month. Do you know what I mean? So I was getting these because I didn't look like what the world says an alcoholic should look like. I looked healthy. I looked well. I looked well-groomed and attractive or whatever. So I was consistently dismissed by society, by friends, by professionals. And that's not me putting down people in healthcare. That's me alerting people to the fact that the only ones that can recognise it are those who've been there. And very few people have been through this horrific disease and come out on the other side to then go forward and help educate others from a lived experience point of view. And in the country, we definitely do not talk about it because we're too busy saying how awesome grog is. And so it's very, very, very tricky. And anyone who has suffered or survived alcoholism is going off and being anonymous behind closed doors because that's what we're also taught to do. So there's no access to open, friendly, inclusive discussions. And one of the key things I've done in the last 5 years is to say, hang on a second. If you live in Pitt Street in Sydney and you can walk down the street and have access to a community of dozens upon dozens upon dozens of anonymous recovery meetings to find your support, that is awesome. I couldn't advocate enough for that. But what happens when you go out west and it's Ben or Shanna or Joe Blow, right? We are in a tiny, tiny community and we're suddenly showing our mates that we've got a big problem. And the first thing we do is get told to go away and be isolated. You need to go be anonymous to treat that thing, Shanna. We're now going to exclude you from our community. It is devastating and it doesn't work because we are suddenly cut off from the very heart and soul of what we've been part of all our lives. So I'm challenging anonymity in the bush as profoundly ineffective and even actually a really, really cruel paradox that doesn't work for everybody. It works for some, but for many of us, it's completely counterintuitive to the basis of how 100%. Community works. 100%. Do you know what I mean?
Shanna Wan is our guest this morning on Rural Queensland Today. We'll take a break, be back with more.